Sean, I didn't know you were sticking around for service. I could have had you sing. I that's fine. I appreciate that.
Come as you are is about signal.
No.
We're being signaled.
20 seconds.
Oh, very good. I see.
Yeah, it's not a, that's not a
I thought there was O2.
Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church. Everybody got really quiet, so we must be on now, right? Must be time to start. Well, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. It's great to see everybody here. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive right into worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and for this opportunity to gather here in your house, as your church, as your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we'll have to worship you today, to praise you, to glorify you. And pray that everything that we do would be exactly that, that it would be glorifying to you, Lord, that you would be pleased by your church. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you for today. Thank you for everybody that's here, and pray for everybody who wanted to be here but couldn't make it, Lord. Pray that you would bless your church, bless your people. We thank you, Lord, and we just look forward to this time of worship now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we worship, feel free to stand with us if you like, and if you don't, that's okay too. But we want to worship our King and sing this old song that kind of has a new twist. How great thou art. Oh, Lord, my God, when I awesome wonder, consider all the worlds I have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, as I pass throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Amen. Thank you, God. How great is our God. How great you are. And we want to sing your praises. We want to sing about your greatness. We want to sing about your goodness. And as we move forward today, as we continue to praise you in worship, Lord, pray that we would be singing about all of your glorious attributes, Lord, about how good you are and how great you are, how amazing you are to accept us, Lord. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this day and for this time of worship. And pray these things in the mighty and matchless name of our King and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, Freedom family. We're glad that you're here today, whether you're here in the sanctuary or online. So we have a few announcements. A lot of them are the same as last week. But the men are meeting for Bible study on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. So please join them as they dig into the Word. It's also great fellowship. The women's have a few things going on. Marie posts a video on Facebook and MeWe on Mondays, so feel free to view that. And in addition, we have Thursday mornings where we meet in person and go over some questions. So we always enjoy digging into God's Word. And in addition to that, we also have a women's tea coming up, and it's June, sorry, I wrote it down here somewhere. I think it's June 19th. It's on a Saturday. So we have flyers out on the information table, and so I hope you can join us in that. Also, we have another Bible study in Ridgefield at Dennis and Lisa's house, and that's potluck at 5:30, and with the study starting at 6. So please join if you can. That would be great. Also, we would love for you to think about serving. One way that you can get to know people, especially if you're new or going through different seasons, we have many ministries that need some help right now. And one of those are in children's ministry at the different levels, whether it's holding babies or toddlers, preschool and middle school and elementary. So please see Jean or sign up at the table. And you don't have to be experts. That's all you have to do is want to love on kids and be willing. And I know you'll be blessed and they will too. Also, we have another way to serve is the fire response coming up. And as you know, many of us go down to those in Mill City Gates area in Oregon. And we've been serving since about, I think, October of last year. And it has been such a wonderful thing to be a part of it. And not only are they blessed, but you are blessed also. I know David and I talk often as we're coming home, and it has been wonderful to be a part of that. So the next date that we are serving is Saturday, May 15th. So there's a sign-up sheet outside, and we can get you all the information. And we also feed you during lunch during that time. Let's see. We have one more opportunity to serve. I believe it is in the audiovisual. If you notice when they put the words up and the worship lyrics, there's an opening, and you don't have to know how to do it. They will train you. So if you would like to do something like that, just ask at the information desk, and they'll get you connected. What else? I think that is it for announcements. All these things you can either sign up out on the information desk, find out more information, or email us at info@freedomcommunity.church. And today, while Pastor Rob and Jeannie are still on vacation, they'll be here next week, and we're glad that they've been able to get some rest and restoration. But we have, again, as our guest pastor today, we have Dennis Fuquay. And he is the executive director for International Renewal Ministries. And then here locally, more closely related here in Clark County, he is the executive director of Clark County Prayer Connect. And he will start us off in prayer today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's rare that people clap after the announcements, so that's good. I do want to mention that it's a real privilege for me to be here again this morning. I appreciate your pastor, Rob. And did you know he's older now than when he left? Yeah, he had a birthday on the 29th, and I hope you give him a big cake or a big party or a big cake in the face or something next week would be good. I also, before I pray, I just want to mention that I did bring books back again this morning. This book is what I, on Living Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Alive in You, is what I preached from last week, and some of you asked if I'd bring it back. And then this book here is on biblical meditation, not Eastern meditation, but the real thing, the real biblical meditation. And it's not about, listen, we don't make a lot of money on books, okay? If your name is Max Lucado, you make a lot of money on books, but other than that, it's not a lot. But the point is, if you want the information, I'd encourage you, you can take us home in paperback. So Pray with me, please, as we lift before the Lord these your four standard requests here. First of all, the leaders, and then secondly, the persecuted church, Israel, the nation of Israel, and the peace of Israel, and then we'll be praying about one other area as well here. So I will pray, and then I'll pause, and then you pray, please, silently on the same topic. Father, first of all, we just want to say it's a delight to be in your presence. Thank you for the privilege we have of coming, gathering together with one another, but more importantly, gathering in your presence to worship you. You are an amazing God. Your beauty is stunning and overwhelming. Thank you for the privilege we have of calling you Papa, calling you Father, Abba. And we come to you this morning, not simply because we feel it's a good thing to come to you, but because you've invited us to come before your throne of grace to find help and grace in time of need. And so, Father, we do want to pray for the leaders that are over us, governmental leaders over us in our county, in our state, in our nation. Father, specifically today, I pray for Governor Jay Inslee. Lord, I want to ask that you would do things in his life to bring him to a point where he would know that you are his Father. That God, I pray that you would bring him to a point where he understands that Jesus loves him more than anyone else and desires a relationship with him. And then, Lord, I also pray for the Bidens as well, for President Biden and his wife Jill. I pray in Jesus' name that you would manifest your love to them, do good things in their life so that the goodness of God would lead them to that place of really falling in love with you, we pray in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, we are, it's quite a contrast for us to be able to get in our cars and drive to a place where we can gather together and there's no threat. But yet, it's the normal thing in many countries. I think of Iran and China and even in India. It's the normal thing for people to sneak to church. Thank you that we didn't have to sneak here this morning. God, I want to pray for specifically the people in India where the government is doing serious crackdown on Christian gatherings. Lord, I pray that you would help them, you would protect them, you would give them strength of spirit, strength of soul, so that they would not back away from gathering together. They would not back away from following you, Jesus, as Lord. God, I specifically pray for the Maratha people, 30 million people along the western side of India, and not one known follower of Jesus. God, send out laborers to the Maratha people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Call people from the Western Church, call people from other parts from Africa as they're sending out missionaries. God, call people to go to the Maratha people and demonstrate and communicate the good news of Jesus. And then finally, I pray in India, as the COVID plague has increased and killed hundreds of thousands, God, we call upon you to bring a stop to that in India in Jesus' name. And then before I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I want to just talk to you just for a minute. How many of you heard about the tragedy that took place in northern Israel this past week, just a couple days ago? I believe nearly 50 people died in a weird accident. The Orthodox sect, the most conservative sect, the one with the dresses in black and the big brimmed hats, were gathered about 100,000 people up in northeast Israel near the base of a mountain called Mount Moran. And there were many more people in this area than what it was designed to hold. And something happened. Someone slipped on a step broke. They're not exactly sure what happened. But that caused a reaction. A stampede is what it was called. And in this stampede of human feet, about 50 people were killed. So that's the backdrop of this prayer. Father, I want to ask for your comfort on the families of those whose lives are changed because the life of a loved one is over. God, would you come as the comforter of Israel? You say in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, comfort, oh, comfort my people. You want your people to experience your strength that can come alongside them. So God, I pray for your comfort for those families, Lord. And then would you use this in some way, use this tragedy in some way to draw people there into a relationship with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God, I ask you that somehow followers of Christ who know these people would come alongside of them and give them comfort and also give them the gospel. So God, I ask for your shalom, your peace over these people and in Israel and in Jerusalem. God, give them your peace specifically in relationship to this tragedy in Jesus' name. And then the other thing that I'll pray about this morning is the issue of how race has been used to divide us in the body of Christ and us in our nation. God, we're very aware that the evil one is the one who divides, and the holy one is the one who brings together, who unites. God, I want to ask in Jesus' name that the color of one's skin is no longer used to divide us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that all ethnic backgrounds, whatever they are, red or yellow, black and white, I pray in Jesus' name that we would not only see that we are precious in your sight, but God, let all of those groups be precious in our sight. Let us who are followers of Jesus initiate contact with people who are different from us. And I pray that we would demonstrate the love and demonstrate that we see them as valuable. God, I grieve over how politicized race has become. I ask in Jesus' name that you would allow us, your church, the redeemed ones, to be the front runners in bringing about unity in our culture, in the area of race, as well as, especially, Lord, in the body of Christ, Lord. Don't diminish the divisions and increase the cooperation, I pray, in Jesus' name. And now I pray, Lord, that you would increase our vision of Jesus. As we worship, as we sing, I pray that you'd make us more aware that we're really joining with the saints around the throne. We're not just here in a gymnasium in Battleground. We really are joining with the saints around the throne, giving glory to the Lamb. Help us do that well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, let's enter back into a time of worship. sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Fall in his arms. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. All right. Well, let's stand together and let's sing this one. Just sing about the goodness of God. This is called Yes, I Will. I count on one thing, the same God who never failed will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy, though my heart is heavy, oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God who never failed will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Oh yes, I will sing for joy, though my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you loved us first so that we can love you in return, and that we can say, yes, I will. I will choose to serve you. I'll choose to love you. I'll choose to give my life to you, Lord. I'll choose to trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us that choice. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for living for us. We just thank you for everything, Jesus, and we can never hope to praise you enough to show our gratitude, but we want to try. We want to try to show you our gratitude, Lord, and so we praise you. We sing these songs to you and pray that it would be more than just words and music, that it would be our hearts being poured out to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and we look forward now to this time of hearing from you through your word. Pray that you would open the ears and the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we would be changed forever by an encounter with you, by your word. Change us, Lord. Help us to be more like you. And we're grateful, Lord, that we know that you, who began a good work in us, will continue that until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we hold on to that, Lord. We hold on to your promises. And we love you and we thank you. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I choose to praise, to glorify. I choose to bless his name. Bless his name. What does that mean? Wait, maybe, don't go anywhere yet. Wait, I'm going to quiz you here. You can speak for them. What when you say I choose to bless your name? What in the world would that be like? And someone give an answer, and then Wade will correct you. what do you mean when you say, "I choose to bless His name"? To live in a way that honors Him. Right behind you there. To speak well of Him. Good. All right. Anything else you want to add to that? Okay, that his name is special, and we treat it as special. Good, well done. You can go now. Yeah, so I did that for a reason, because I'm going to be talking this morning about a passage of scripture. And last week I preached on the Lord's Prayer and highlighted that one phrase: "Give us this day our daily bread." And the Lord's Prayer is probably, over time, the section of Scripture that is quoted more than any other section of Scripture, probably. If you had a digital thing that you were counting, probably It's stated more times than any other passage of Scripture. In the last year, though, since May of 2020, another passage of Scripture has been heard, has been sung, has been read, I'll bet more than any other passage of Scripture in the last year. I'll bet it has surpassed the Lord's Prayer in the last year here. And that passage of Scripture, in fact, one video of it has been viewed more than 50 million times, probably about 70 or 75 million times. And that's just one video of this particular passage, because the passage was turned into a song by Carrie Joby and Chris Cairns, okay? And that song, The Blessing, has been heard over and over again. And not only has it been heard and sung in many different ways, but it has been, since Zoom came along, since we invited Zoom into our hearts, people have been very creative in getting a bunch of different worship leaders, a bunch of different singers, and singing that section of Scripture over a particular area, over a particular geographic area. So I don't know if you've seen it or not, but some people have done that for the state of Washington, where a bunch of different, about 30 or so different worship leaders got together, and they each sing a little bit, and then someone videos splices it all together. That has been sung over Singapore. It's been sung over, I was just with some folks this last week, some pastors last week, and they said that in the Middle East, you know, have you noticed there's been tension in the Middle East, okay? But in the Middle East, a bunch of worship leaders across Israel and Jordan and different places, they did this, and they sang this song, The Blessing, over that geographic area. So this passage of Scripture is known as the Aaronic Blessing. And when I've told people that I was going to preach on the Aaronic Blessing, people, in fact, this morning, someone said, not the ironic blessing. I said, no, this is not the ironic blessing. This is the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. There is an ironic blessing that you should be aware of. Do you know about the ironic blessing, about Jesus, how Jesus taught us the ironic blessing? Bless those who curse you. That's the ironic blessing. But the Aaronic blessing is the blessing that Aaron would speak over the nation of Israel. And that is picked up, and it's become very, very familiar to us. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, or if you have a Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 6, or poke on your phone, now we say nowadays, Numbers chapter 6. And here it is on the screen for you non-Bibleites. And many of you are very familiar with it anyway, but I just want you to be able to see it. My hope, similar to what I did last week, my hope is to give you fresh perspective on familiar words. How many of you grew up in a church where the pastor would say this at the end of the service? The Lord bless you, keep you, make you say, okay, yeah, okay. That's wonderful. And it's terrible. It's wonderful because that's what's supposed to happen. It's terrible because way too often it just becomes rote. And there's no meaning to it. Well, I want to re-energize. My hope is to re-energize the meaning of this Aaronic blessing for you this morning. And the specific blessing is in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26, and we'll look at that in a little bit. But to sort of set the stage here, I want you to notice the first five words that are on the screen, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses. Well, that right there ought to catch our attention. Just like in the New Testament, Jesus is the one who initiated the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, my insertion, read my lips, pray like this. He wants us to pray in that manner. The Aaronic blessing was not Kerry Joby's idea. That just came out a year ago. This was not just simply a good idea that Moses said, let me go into the tent and write out some nice words here. This was not Moses' idea. This was not Aaron's idea. The words and the meaning of this blessing originated in the heart of the Father. God is the one who said, hey, Mo. I think he was on a sort of a familiar basis with Moses, so he could say that. Hey, Moses, tell Aaron to say these words over the people of Israel. So whatever these words are, we should be paying close attention to. Amen? These words are God's words that he wants. So why does he want these words spoken over his people? I think that's a fair question. Why does he want these words to be regularly spoken over his people by priests? Well, he wants these words spoken over his people on a regular basis by spiritual leaders, etc., because this is what he desires for his people. This is his will. Have you ever wondered, I wonder what God's will for my life is? I know what God's will for your life is. It's Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. This is what he wants for us. And so when God says, Moses, tell Aaron this, then Aaron should ought to be doing this. Okay? So then the next words, and we'll get them back on the screen as you pray and the Lord answers your prayers. Okay? The next word, I'll tell you what the next words are. The Lord said, tell Aaron and his sons to speak this way. Well, why would God have Moses tell Aaron this? Well, Aaron was the high priest, the first high priest of the nation of Israel. And a priest, the position of a priest, is to represent men before God. So he's saying, God is saying, I want Aaron to regularly speak these words over my people because this is my heart for them. Now, Aaron is a rather unlikely candidate to be the one that God chose to do this. Do you remember Aaron's history? Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. He's up there way too long. That's the problem. And so down below, the people get nervous and they say, come on, give us a real God. And so Aaron cooperated with the people. He allowed the people to lead him rather than him leading the people. He cooperated, and Aaron is the one who built the golden calf. And this is the guy that God wants to speak this blessing over his people? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Have you ever wondered if your past disqualifies you for spiritual work? If God can use Aaron, there's still hope for you. How many of you built a golden calf? Okay? Okay, I understand what you mean, yes. Okay, but you never actually fashioned one of those, you know, the actual golden one. Give me your earrings, etc., and I'll make you a golden calf. This is your God. We have done worse. We've built golden calves in our own heart and such. But here's my point. The sin that Aaron was involved with because he acknowledged it, because he confessed it, because God forgave him, God actually really did really fully forgive him. And therefore, he wanted him to be that high priest and to speak this over his people. Don't let your past hinder you from communicating and demonstrating and giving God's blessing to other people. And then it says, Aaron and his sons. That word Aaron and, that word and, gives us great hope. You remember last week I asked you, how many of you are New Testament priests? Okay? I'm going to ask you again. And let me just tell you the answer so there's no question, okay? In just a minute, I'm going to say, if you're a New Testament priest, raise your hand. Oh, just a minute here. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. And if you are a saint, if you are a blood-bought person, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are a priest. That's what it says in the New Testament. That's what it says in 1 Peter. It says in Revelation and other places as well. So how many of you, here comes the question, how many of you are New Testament priests? Raise your hand if you're New Testament. Oh, yes, I love it. Yes, 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 yes. So, okay, so you all qualify. You all qualify to be the agent of blessing to other people using the Aaronic blessing. Aaron and his sons. So this comes from the heart of the Father through Moses to Aaron and to you and to me, that these are words that we're supposed to speak. And look what it says. This is how you are to bless the Israelites. The word bless is used three times in this passage of Scripture. In verse 23, and then verse 24, the Lord bless you, the first of the six things that we'll look at. And then look down in verse 27, next to the last word, and I will bless them. If you say, God will bless. If you say, God will bless. The heart of the Father is full of love for his people. He wants the best for them. These 6 points of the Aaronic blessing are a reflection of what's on God's heart. And God is looking for a conduit. God is looking for a good old garden hose to get from heaven to his people his blessing. How many of you qualify to be a good old garden hose? Okay? If all you have to do is just simply cooperate with the Father. That's what prayer really is. Prayer isn't about us originating some nice idea. God, I'd like you to do this. Or God, don't you know you need to do that? It's not about telling God what he's supposed to do. It's about aligning us, our hearts, with his will and what he wants, and then letting that happen toward other people. And here's a great example of what he wants to see happen. So he says that if Aaron says, bless, he will bless. And if y'all say, bless, he will bless. God will actually answer your prayer if you pray this way. Isn't that good news? Many of you have prayed prayers and you've wondered, I wonder if God will ever answer this prayer. This is a prayer that God wants to and will answer. Now, this word bless, used three different times here. In verse 23, it says, this is how you are to bless the children of Israel, the people of Israel, and I will bless them, verse 27. I think the word bless is a code word, a shortcut word, not just simply for one aspect of these six blessings, this six-part blessing. I think it's a code word for all six of them. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. Mark 10, verses 15 and 16 is a place where Jesus is teaching and a bunch of kids. they turn the kids' church kids loose, and they run up to Jesus, and they're gathering around him, And the disciples, check this out, verse 15, it says, the disciples rebuked those kids. And verse 16 says, and Jesus got indignant. Best I can figure out, Jesus got indignant only a few times. When he was overthrowing the temple, the tables in the temple, when he was talking to the Pharisees and all, hypocrites, etc. And when he was talking to his disciples, he wanted to keep the kids away. Not a good idea to keep the kids away from Jesus. So Jesus gets indignant. Huh! I'd love to watch the video of that. And he gets indignant and he says, no, no, no. I want those kids to come to me. And he picked them up. He laid his hands on and he picked them up and he, it says, he blessed them. I don't think Jesus said, bless you, Johnny, bless you, Billy, bless you, Fred. I don't think that's what he was doing. I think he was actually saying the blessing of Numbers chapter 6. This blessing of Numbers 6, Jesus heard it umpty-ump times. He heard it over and over and over and over again. This was almost a daily thing that happened in Jesus' life. So he was very, very familiar with this. And so when Mark says he blessed him, I don't have any way of proving this. One day I'm going to watch the video and then I'll know I'm right. But I think Jesus is actually saying, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, etc. And then also in another time when I think this happened is in Luke chapter 24, the last four verses of the book of Luke. Look at Luke verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 50 and beyond. That's right before Jesus, after his death and his resurrection. And it's describing just before his ascension. In fact, it's describing his ascension. And he says that he blessed the disciples. And then it says, as he was blessing them, he rose up. Can you imagine the expression on the face of the disciples? They're there up on Mount Olivet, and they're talking with Jesus, and he says, yeah, I'm going to be leaving soon, etc. And then all of a sudden, he starts going up as he's praying, the Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. And he's rising up there, and they're going, I'm sure they never forgot that experience. The last words that the disciples heard from the lips of the resurrected Jesus were these words. I think these are very, very significant words. I always sign off on my letters, blessings, Dennis, for him, then Dennis. The reason why I do that is because I think if it was good enough for Aaron, if it was good enough for God, it's good enough for me. What I want for the people reading my letters is I want them to experience Numbers 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. And so that's my code word as well. And then look down in verse 27. There's two phrases there. So I'll put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. I've already talked about the second phrase, I will bless them. That is, when we say it, God will do it. And then the first phrase is, so I will put my name upon them. When Aaron said, and when Aaron prayed this blessing over the nation of Israel, something happened in the lives of the people who heard this. And what happened in the lives of the people who heard it is God's name was placed upon them. Well, what's that about? Is that like God had a tattoo parlor writing his name on their arms? No, that's not what it is. When you think of, and I mentioned this last week here, when you think of his name, don't just think of a series of letters or a series of syllables or a specific way to pronounce it. It's Jesus versus Jesus versus Yeshua. It's not about the pronunciation. It's not about the spelling. It's not about the language group that it comes from. Here's what it's about. The name of God is about his identity. It's about his character. It's about his nature, his reputation. So in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, God, let your name be holy, we're saying, God, we want your identity, your character, to be distinct from all other so-called gods. His name, his character, his identity. So what happened when Aaron prayed this over people? What happens when you pray this over people is that the identity of God becomes more real in them. Marilyn and I have four kids. Three of them came through natural birth. One came through adoption. Three of them have our nature. I know their foul-ups because I gave them to them. I recognize that because it was in me before it was in them. But all four of them have our identity. You've been adopted into God's family, and therefore your identity is God and his character. So when Aaron prayed in this way, and when you pray in this way over your loved ones and people you care about, God will bless them by putting his identity, building his character, releasing more of his nature, establishing more of his reputation in them. It's called spiritual growth. When you pray this over your loved ones, when you pray this over your not-so-loved ones, spiritual growth happens in them. This is a specific way that God says you can help other people grow spiritually. He will put his name on the people for whom you pray this. So, now what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you a chart here, a little diagram, that has the six, or on the left-hand side, the left-hand column will be just simply the statement, the six different statements that are here. And then the next column over to the right will be, I'll give you some basic meaning, my understanding of what these statements mean. And so take a look at the six statements from the blessing. The Lord bless you. It's called a PowerPoint right there. That was a PowerPoint. It worked. Okay, the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. These six things that as I've already said, these are six things that the Father longs for people to have in their lives. That's why he wants us to be praying them over other people. So let me just warn you, this will be on the test. I want to encourage you to somehow process this, because you will be tested in this. There will be an opportunity for you to pray this for other people, and I want you to pray it well. Not only that, but I'm going to give you opportunity after each of these, after I share about each of these basic meanings here, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray for someone else that you care about. So I want to encourage you, get in your mind, who is another believer? And here's what I'm going to do first. Who is another believer in the room right now? Who's another believer in this room? Or if you're watching online, who's another believer in your close circle that you will be praying this blessing for? All right? So the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, may he turn his face toward you and give you peace. We'll take each one of these in order. The first one, the Lord bless you. That's why I was asking earlier. When we were saying, bless the Lord, what does that word bless mean? Well, you gave me good answers. You've done well here. Basically, the word bless in the New Testament language, the word bless is the word eulogy. A eulogy is a good word. Literally what it means, a good logos, a good word. So the Lord bless you. It's may the Lord do things to you so that other people say, wow, That guy has some kind of a, that person is blessed. That person is experiencing a good thing that I'm not really sure I'm experiencing yet. The Lord bless you. It's may he do things for your benefit. May you do things so that you know, may he do things in your life so that you know that you're experiencing God's favor. The Lord bless you. So, for example, when it says bless one another, or when it says bless the name of the Lord, what we're to do is we're to speak words that will benefit them. We're to speak words that will demonstrate the favor of God upon them. Okay? So, for example, when Marilyn and I, we pray each morning when we're both at the house together, we always pray, and we pray for our kids and our grandkids. And oftentimes, not every morning, but oftentimes, we'll use this as a pattern. So we will pray something, for example, God, I want to ask that in, Marilyn, pick one of our grandkids' names. God, in Marilyn's life, would you do things in Marilyn's life today so that she understands that she's living in your favor? Do things today in her life so that other people, when they look at her life, they will almost be envious because of the goodness of God seen in her life. That's a way that we might pray from this particular line. So I asked you earlier, would you get a person in mind, someone in this room, or if you're online, someone in your close sphere? And I'm going to ask you to take just about 30 seconds or so, 20 or 30 seconds, and pray from this line, just in fact, I want to ask you to start out with this phrase. Father, as a priest, as one of your priests, I pray for, and then you insert that person's name, that you would bless them. Okay? But don't just use the word bless, amplify that a little bit, okay? Take a few seconds and do that. Yes. Amen. If I interrupted you, it's okay if you pray this way later. It really is okay if you do this. So not only the Lord bless you, but the Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. The basic meaning there is protect or guard. Okay, that's not too hard to catch. May the Lord protect you. There are enemies out there. We need protection. We need to be kept from the evil one. That was a common prayer in the New Testament. Lord, keep them from the evil one. It's not only in the Lord's Prayer. It's in other places, in Paul, and in other places as well. May we be kept from the evil one. It is right for you to pray spiritual protection over those you love. We should never be afraid of the evil one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we should always be aware of the evil one. Don't think that he's not active today. Don't think that Satan and his demons are not active in the world today and want to damage your loved ones. Don't assume spiritual protection. Pray spiritual protection. So pray that the Lord would protect, would guard them. But also, this word keep means pray that they would stay put, that they would remain. John chapter 15, that they would abide in me. That when people are in tune with the Lord, pray that they would stay in tune with the Lord. Pray that they would abide there, they would remain there, they would be kept there. So protection physically, protection spiritually, protection emotionally, protection financially, protection relationally. All these kinds of things are wrapped up in this word, the Lord bless you and keep you. It is so right that we pray that God would protect people, and he wants people protected. That's why he's asking you. No, he's in fact, he's not even asking you. Did you notice he didn't ask Aaron? He told Aaron. That's why God is telling us, I want them protected. I'm depending on you to pray in such a way that they will be protected. Pray now for the same person, please. We'll change it in a minute, but for the same person, pray now that they would be protected, that the name of the Lord would be a strong tower around them, that they would be protected from the evil one, that they would be guarded, and also that they would remain in God. Yes, God, don't let them wander. Keep them. Keep them protected from the evil one. Keep them protected from the lure of the world so that they would remain, they would abide in you, I pray in Jesus' name. Good. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Now you might want to find a different name here. Pray now for someone outside of this room. Or if you're online, pray for someone in a broader circle of relationship that you have. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an expression on my face, and you're going to tell me what that expression is communicating. All right? Say it again? You okay? Yeah. So, now I'm going to give you an expression, and you're going to tell me what it is. Yeah, I'm happy. My face now is shining on you. Is this a face that looks like it's shining? Now that looks, hopefully, it looks rather dark, right? Okay. I think that the basic meaning of this line is, may you do things that the Lord will smile upon you. May you do things to bring a smile to the face of the Lord. May he be pleased with you. This is a unique aspect of the six aspects of this blessing, because it's the only one that really, what you're doing is you're praying that the person you are praying for will do something different. All the others, you're praying that God will do something here, but now you're praying so that God will bring will smile because of what we do. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Where there it says, find out what it is that pleases the Lord. Or verse 17, Ephesians 5:17, it says, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is, what his desires are. I don't know that I can think of anything better than to anticipate looking up and seeing a smile on the face of the Savior because of something that I did. The thought that we here on earth, we, this little tiny one of 7.5 billion people, whatever it is now, that the fact that this little person right here in this little place, on this little speck, in this little universe, could bring pleasure to God is just amazing. I want to do that as often as I can. I want to bring a smile to his face. And so this line is, may you do things that are right in line with his will. May you fulfill his will and therefore see the smile on his face. So I want to ask you to pray for someone outside the room. Pray for someone outside in a little broader context of the circle of your relationships. And pray that they would understand what the will of the Lord is. They would understand what pleases him and do it. Yes, may they understand what pleases you, and may they have a heart to do what pleases you so that they're able to know that they have brought a smile to your face. Yes. Okay, the fourth request. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Well, oftentimes when we hear this word grace, we think the New Testament meaning of the word grace. You can sort of contrast grace and mercy. Mercy is God withholding from us that which we actually deserve. Grace is God giving us that which we don't deserve. Grace is that enabling power in us to live life the way God wants us to live it. Well, that's the New Testament understanding of grace. This word is different than that. This word sort of combines the two words of mercy and grace, the two New Testament meanings of the words mercy and grace, and it really means to bend down and to lift up. Okay? To bend down and lift up. God, may you bend down and lift them up whenever they need to be lifted up. This is what David wrote in Psalm 40, which says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. Here it is, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock. How many of you have ever experienced mud? Yeah, muck, mire. You're sort of walking along the road and the road of life, and you see a real nice mud puddle over there. That mud puddle looks really nice. I think I'll go step in it. And you get stuck. That's when you need the Lord to lift you up out of the miry muck, out of the miry clay. And then he doesn't just set you back on the road. He sets you on a rock. This reminds me of one of our kids that we used to live up in Gig Harbor, and we still have some property up there. And the property that we own has community waterfront and community lagoon. And in this lagoon, the tide comes in and out a couple times a day, and it's a great place to mud. We love to mud. Mudding is, you can do in mud basically anything you can do in snow, except it's dirtier. Okay? And so we would go over there and mud, and one day Marilyn and I were gone, our 12-year-old son was out there with his two cousins that were younger than him, and he was mudding. And one of the things you do when you mud is you work your feet back and forth like this until you get up like to your knees or so, and it just feels fun to get stuck in the mud. And then if you know what you're doing, you can sort of lean this way and pull one foot out real slowly, because if you try to pull it out too fast, it doesn't work. You just sort of pull it out real slowly, and you put your knee up there, and then you pull up the other one. Well, our son was mudding with tennis shoes, high-top tennis shoes on. This is a problem. And he got stuck in the mud on an incoming tide with high-top tennis shoes. And we drove across the little bridge there and saw this ruckus over there. There was a boat there, and there's people around. We thought, oh, I wonder what's going on over there. Well, we found out that it was our son that was going on over there. And by the time we got there, someone had already called the fire department because they could not get him out. So I went over and I ducked down and I put my hand down his leg to try to pull him up. I could not get him up out of the mud. Fire department got there and took their ever-living time to get their fire hose out there. They had to put the firemen had to put life jackets on before they could go out and rescue my son. And Marilyn and I are nervous and bugged. But the firemen knew exactly what they were doing. They turned that fire hose on, and in literally about 5 seconds, he just popped up like a cork. He was free, because they knew exactly where to spray that hose to get the mud off of his foot, and he just came right on up. God is a pretty good fireman. He knows how to get us out of the muck that we get in. He's gracious to us. He bends down and he picks us up. Pray again for the same person you prayed for last time. Pray that God would be gracious to them. Pray that, we just prayed that they would make, they would live their lives in such a way that God would smile upon them. And then the next one is There are going to be times when they don't live like that, that God smiles on them. They're going to be out in the muck. They're going to get stuck in the mud. And God, when they get stuck in the mud, when they don't do things that bring you pleasure, they're going to get stuck. Be gracious to them. Bend down and pick them up. Don't leave them there. Take a moment, please, and pray that kind of prayer for someone in your circle. Yes, Lord, as the one who lifts our heads and lifts us up out of the miry clay, lift us and put our feet on a solid rock, I pray. So the fifth one, be gracious to, and may he turn his face toward you. Well, that's interesting. May he turn his face toward you. I think the basic meaning of what that's communicating there is this. May you be aware that he's watching over you. May you be aware that he is ever present with you. How many of you have been to George Washington's home, Mount Vernon? Any of you been there? Okay. Hopefully you'll remember what I'm going to mention here. If not, I may just be making this up, okay? So, no, this has actually happened. When you come into the main area where there's the exhibits about, not his house, but the main exhibition area, you walk down these stairs and you're in a lobby. And off to the left, you go down a hallway and there's some shops and a restaurant down there, and then there's exhibitions this way and this way. But between the hallway and the first series of exhibitions, there is a bust of George Washington. And it's a three-dimensional bust, about waist, sort of chest high and up. And I was there, our family was there this last summer, and I was walking, I came out of the place where the restaurant was and such, and was walking over across the lobby, and there was no one else in the room. So I walk across the lobby, and out of the corner of my eye, I see that George is watching me. And I thought, that's interesting, because I thought I saw his head turn. This is a three-dimensional bust. I thought I saw his head turn. And so I stopped, and sure enough, he stopped. I went forward, and he went forward. I backed up, and he backed up. I said, good grief. And I knew this wasn't the case, but I thought, George Washington, the first president of the United States, is watching over me. It was just a weird kind of a feeling. Well, may the Lord turn his face toward you. May you be very aware that the God of the universe is right there watching you in your situation. You have no need to be afraid because he's right there. It says in Matthew, the last verse of Matthew, Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, and behold, lo, I am with you always. This is the practical reality of his omnipresence, of his being everywhere present. He's right there watching over you. This should bring two wonderful emotions. First of all is, I don't have to be afraid. The second emotion of knowing that he's watching me all the time is, oh my, maybe I do need to be afraid. Both of those are wonderful emotions. One is that assurance that he's with us. The other really is the fear of the Lord. Both of those are very, very good. So may he turn his face toward you, and may you be aware. May the person that you're praying for, may your teenage son, may your 33-year-old granddaughter, whatever it is, may they be very aware that you are present with them, right there with them in their lives. May you turn your face toward them. Pray that way this time. Pray it for someone who is not yet in the family of God. Yes, Lord, make them aware that you are there, that you care for them, and they're not hiding from you. Give them a deep awareness that you are watching over them, I pray, in Jesus' name. All right. And then may the Lord give you peace. How many of you lived through the 1960s? Peace, brother, peace. Okay. Well, most of the time in the hippie movement, they meant may the Vietnam War stop when they talked about peace. That's what they were primarily talking about. But really, some of them had something beyond that, and that is they didn't really know it, but really what they were asking for was something very, very biblical. May you experience that real sense of wholeness. I think that my favorite word is flourish for this word peace or shalom. Flourish. May they know that they're enough. There are two times, there are two cities in the Bible that we're supposed to pray for peace for. One you're very familiar with, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay, Psalm 122, verses 6 through 9. Three times it says, pray for the prosperity, the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. They did that. They got that. They prayed that over and over again. That was one of the Psalms of Ascent, where they every time they went up to Jerusalem, they prayed those Psalms over and over again. They did it. In fact, they did it for 500 years. And then they go into captivity in Babylon. And it's verse 6 of some chapter in Jeremiah. I think it's 29, yeah, Jeremiah 29, verses 6 and 7, where it says, pray for and work for the shalom of the city to which I have called you. I think that is where the phrase oy vey first came into existence. Because they knew when Jeremiah was talking and he says, pray for the peace, work for the peace of, they knew what was coming out of his mouth. The next phrase was going to be of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah throws him this knuckle curveball that says, pray for Babylon. We don't pray for the shalom of Babylon. That prayer is reserved for Jerusalem, God's favorite city. And God says, no, no, no. I want you to pray for the shalom of my favorite city, Jerusalem. I also want you to pray for the shalom of Babylon, which could really be called, from a biblical perspective, his least favorite city. I think your city, whether that's Vancouver or Battleground or wherever you live, is somewhere on the continuum between Jerusalem and Babylon. I think it's somewhere in the middle. He wants you to pray for the shalom of your city also. And he wants you to pray for the shalom of the people that you care about. Shalom. Are you familiar at all with the ministry called the Bible Project? The Bible Project, they make short 5-minute videos or so, 5 to 8 minute. It's wonderful. Go home. This is your assignment. Go home and Google the Bible Project Shalom or Peace, either one. And about a 5-minute video will pop up. And it is a wonderful video. The only problem with this video is it's not 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes long, but you got to watch it 4 or 5 times to catch all that it's saying. It's just packed full of stuff. It's like a mosquito getting a drink out of a fire hose. It's just whooshing, and you need to watch it several times. But it's wonderful. Here's the basic idea. It says, God's shalom is that sense of wholeness, fullness, enoughness, security, safety. I am all that I need to be. I have all that I need to have. That's what shalom is. I'm convinced that the best one-word description of heaven is shalom. When we get there, it will be the restoration of everything that is supposed to be, of everything that God wanted it to be in the first place. I'm convinced that it's the best one-word description of the kingdom of God on earth is shalom. In fact, I think this is the capstone of this 6-part blessing. I think this is where he wanted to go. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you shalom, give you peace. I want to give you just a couple verses here about how to pray for the shalom of non-believers and how to pray for the shalom of believers. First of all, for non-believers, pray that they would hear and respond to the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. That's what Jesus preached, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. It says that he came and he preached peace to those who were near, to those who were far off. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God is one of the most wonderful blessings, most wonderful gifts we could possibly receive. So pray for non-believers that they would experience Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Jesus who is our peace. Pray that they would experience Jesus and have that genuine peace of God. And then for believers, how should we pray for believers that they would experience peace? Two verses, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is fixed on thee. Pray for believers that their minds would be fixed on Jesus. Because if their minds are not fixed on Jesus, their mind needs to be fixed. I'll wait. If their mind is not fixed on Jesus, there's something broken there, and their minds need to get back on who Jesus is. And then it says, because they trust in him. Looking at him develops more and more trust. Looking at him develops more and more trust. It gives them more and more shalom. This isn't just normal shalom. This is perfect peace. I like shalom. I like perfect shalom better than just regular, ordinary garden variety shalom. The last verse I'll offer to you is about praying for believers is Psalm 119, verses 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace. Again, mega shalom. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Nothing will cause them to be offended. How would you like to live your life in an unoffendable manner? How would you like your loved ones, as you're praying for them, how would you like them to live their life in a manner that they would never stumble? Pray that they would love the law of God. And when I say law, when David says law in Psalm 119, he's not just simply talking about the Ten Commandments. It's included in that, but not just talking about the Torah, the first five books. He's not just talking about the commands of God, the 613 commands of God in the Old Testament. He's not just talking about those commands. He's talking about everything that God says, everything that comes out of God's mouth. Oh, I hope that more and more you're loving God's word, loving God's written word, loving God's living word, loving everything that he says. Because when you love what he says, you will experience heaven on earth. You will experience shalom. You will experience more, not just regular shalom, great shalom, perfect shalom, big shalom. May you experience the peace of God. So this time I want to ask that as you pray, you would pray for your pastor and his bride. Give them the gift of prayer that they would experience great shalom of God. Pray that their minds would always be fixed on Jesus. Pray that their love for your word, for his word, would grow more and more. Would you take a moment, please, and pray in that manner? Yes, God, would you bless Rob with a greater sense of love for your word? Thank you for where his love for your word is increase that, I pray. Lord, thank you for his mind being fixed on you. Continue to keep his mind stayed upon you, I pray. And give them that great sense of your shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's one more slide I want you to look at, and that's this. This is homework, okay? Ask these three questions related to each of these six aspects of this blessing. What does that statement mean? What does it reveal about yourself, about God's character, and about God's will, his desires, okay? You can have some really good, fun stuff by pondering that. First of all, what it says about me, I need God's blessing. I need him to keep me. If he doesn't keep me, I'm going to wander somewhere else and fall off the cliff, okay? I need him to pick me up, etc. What it says is I'm in great need of these things. And then you go ahead and pursue the other things. Thank you again very much for your listening and helping me preach here this morning. If nobody listens and nobody responds, it doesn't work very well for me to preach. And so thank you. And God bless you as Rob comes on back next week and you get back on track with him. Okay? Thank you.
Right. Well, we're going to do something just a little bit different. We are going to close out with a time of worship, and we received a prayer request this morning, and I know that for me, if I don't stop and pray right away, I'll probably forget. So we don't want to do that, and it's our privilege to pray for those in our congregation. And if you don't know Clint, Clint is an older gentleman that is part of our fellowship here, and about a year ago or so, he had a stroke, and so he hasn't been back, but he is going through some health issues, and there's just a lot of things that go into that. But right now, he's dealing with COVID, and so he's been very sick, and it's been hard for him to get people to come into the house and help him, and so his wife, Judy, has been kind of overwhelmed. And we want to pray for them and for their situation, because now Clint has been hospitalized, and so he's in good hands and he's being cared for. But it's a struggle and a burden. So we do want to pray for them, and also lift up Judy, that she would hopefully get some rest during this time. So what I'd like to do is I'll open us up, and then if anybody would like to pray for Clint and Judy and their family, please feel free to do so. And then maybe Dennis, if you can come back up, and then you can close us out, and then do the benediction. And actually, I take that back. Let's pray, and then we'll worship, and then you can do the benediction. How's that? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our brother and sister, Clint and Judy. Thank you, Lord, that we can be part of a praying church, a part of a church that prays together and prays, hopefully, with one voice in unity. And Lord, we want to lift up Clint and Judy to you today and know that, man, they've been through a lot. And they've struggled with Clint's health, and with just the care for him is a little overwhelming. And so we're grateful, Lord, that he has had people that have come into the home and have cared for him and have helped him and Judy take care of him. But now, Lord, it's gone a little beyond that. And so with this new aspect of Clint having COVID, we want to lift him up to you, Lord, and pray that he would be well. Pray that he would be able to kick that and get well and get back to being himself, Lord. And pray also that as Judy doesn't have him there at the house and is there at the hospital, and said that she would be able to find a time of rest, know that she's been overwhelmed with his care. And so, Lord, we want to open it up to the church to let anybody and everybody pray for him and for Judy as they feel led. Lord, we do thank you that we can come together in prayer and that we can lift up the names of our brother and sister and pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, pray for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to pray together as a church for them. And so now, Lord, as we turn back to worship, Lord, pray that would be a continuation of our prayer for them and our worship for you, Lord, as we sing this song about your great love for us, Lord. Know that you have the best kind of love for us and for all your people, Lord, including Clint and Judy. And we just we want to lift them up to you and pray for your blessing on them. Pray that their hearts would be lifted and full of joy, Lord, knowing that you care for them. And so as we continue to pray, Lord, thank you for all the prayers of the people here that were lifted and know that there are many more going up for them, Lord, whether they were spoken out loud or in silence, Lord. And pray that you would remind us to continue to pray for them and to not forget about that we can be the hands and feet to them, Lord. Pray that that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together, and we want to close out in worship, and then we'll have Dennis come up and do the benediction. All right.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day, your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. Reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stand the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Wow, your love never fails. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he be gracious especially to Clint and to Judy. May you turn your face toward them. And may you give them shalom. God, right now I pray that there'd be a great sense of peace for Clint and Judy. Let your shalom be enough for them. And may his shalom be upon you. Amen.
Amen.